As season 5 comes to an end, our best season to date, thank you everybody who has downloaded every episode and continues to listen to the Clink Stories of Redemption. Our last episode for this season is going to be dedicated to a wonderful man who we lost, someone who came into season 1 and gave us a wonderful story of redemption, Bernie Matthews. Rest easy, old friend, and our condolences and thoughts go out to your loved ones and family. Enjoy Bernie Matthews' story of redemption.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
Welcome back, season 6, The Clink, Stories of Redemption. How good is it this season? We aim to hit 1 million downloads, and I want to say a massive thank you to every one of you out there that each week downloads The Clink, Stories of Redemption. We threw it back to the listeners this season, and today we've got another amazing guest, one of the top OGs in the Australian hip-hop scene. You know him as Mitchos the Menace. Brother, welcome.
How are you, my bro?
If I'm going to be straight up honest, I'm really excited. I'm fucking pumped.
Oi, bro, it's been a minute since I've known you, bro. So it's finally good to get on your little steez, man.
In all honesty, it has been. And we've been having our little small talk for the last few years, actually.
Yeah, bro, definitely.
You know, you've always been positive within the mental health space, trying to make sure that, you know, people reach out.
Means a lot to me, bro. That,
yep, it does. You know. And I think I sort of tripped across your page. You might have been going through some tough times back then.
Yeah, I have over the years, man. You know, we're all affected by it, but yeah, it's hit me a couple of times over the years, man, and I've always said something on it or spoke on it at least, you know. I feel like we need to more.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing I'm going to say is, you know, I said it to you, I'm 45, but I love my street music. I love my hip-hop, you know. I don't get real grabbed by a lot of artists just purely because I'm a bit old school and, I go back to a few more street calls and, you know, roots. But your lyrics and the way you delivered, you know, just the power in your vocals and everything and your music was what caught me. I even walked out in one of my fights to one of your songs, which is one of my, to this day.
Yeah, bro, I remember. Fuck. That's what made me connect with you a bit, bro, over the years, you know. And I was like, this dude, bro, playing my music, bro, while he goes out and fights. I couldn't believe it, bro.
I felt like King Kong, bro. It pumped me, you know, coming out there and the sirens. Let's go to war. It's been great. Mate, I want to say thank you for taking the time out to come onto the Clink.
Pleasure,
you know, this
pleasure,
has
bro.
Been a request. I personally am proud to have you on here as a guest from my heart. But
I'm humbled to be on.
You've hit the hearts of many others, because when we posted up that season 6, we wanted to give it back to the listeners, and we want to hit 1 million downloads this year, you know, this season. We're about 700,000 now, which has been amazing in just over 12 months.
Yeah, that's hectic. Well done, man.
We want to say thank you. And I thought, what better way can we do it instead of me organizing or guests approaching us? We'll put it out there.
Put it out there to the fans. Yeah, yeah. That's
100%.
Cool,
and you know who they wanted? Mitchos.
Yeah, mama.
I think a lot of people would get the gist of, you know, where you came from, you know, a little bit of your background, your heartaches, your pains, you know, your troubled times, your dark times, addiction, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody will truly understand until they hear this, and that's what the Clink's about. You know, we're an open book, no bullshit.
Yeah, that's it, man. I've been pretty much like that as well with my music, you know, like some of my songs, I've said stuff that I could only really say on these songs. It's kind of hard to get out to people and, Like, if I told you the whole story, you know, we could be here for days, man.
Well, I tell you what, I've got plenty of hours, so let's take it right back. And let's go back. Yeah, yeah. And who is Mitchos the Menace?
All right, bro. I'm just a young lad from fucking West Sydney, man. I grew up in Doonside. We live with my mum. I have three brothers and two sisters. One of my older sisters, she's to a previous relationship with my father's like another woman. So I had an older sister that was living in New Zealand. I have two older brothers, a younger brother and a younger sister. So my mum, just a single parent, bro. Mum, I love my mum to death, bro. You know, she, for her to look after us by herself, it would have been hard, bro, you know?
Yeah.
And my mum like always loved us, bro. But she was an alcoholic, bro. She was just crazy and an alcoholic. So it was a bit difficult, bro, us being youngins, man, and the mum's kind of against our dad and all this stuff, man, growing up. And
were you the older out of the ones with your mum?
No. I'm the third from, so it's, I've got an older brother named Maros.
Yep.
I've got a brother named Marcos, and then it goes me.
So, hang on a second, and then you got Mitchos. Let's go all the way back. It's like, hey, where's that from? let's bro, go back. Where's the history?
I have older brothers, bro. They had heaps of friends in Dooney and this, that. I was a young one trying to scope around and hang around them. So, their mates just, Matty, his name's Matthew, and Mark, but they just called him Maros, Marcos, you know, and it just carried down in the family, bro, and it comes to me, Mitchos.
Sweet. Let's roll with Mitchos.
Yeah. So that's how it started, bro, honest. But, man, I'm just a young fella, bro, from West Sydney, man. You know, we all had bad times and growing up and whatnot. I never had anything worse than some of my mates had it bad, you know, but it did mold us, man, being in Doonside with a single mum, single parent, like, trying to look after us. She's a fucking drunk, bro. You know, man, it kind of just started off there, eh? And
was there, when you talk about drunk, I mean, we've had lots of guests come on, and you know, we do get deep, and this is the one thing about the clink. Sometimes it hits really deep with some heartstrings. Things come out that people didn't really realize how deep it was, and then it came out vocally, and you know, it happened on the clink while we were doing interviews. Was there abuse in the home? Did you sort of, you know, like, I understand when you say Dooney and you know, the Bronx of the Housing Commission. I mean, I'm a project kid, if you want to call it that, or a Housing Commission kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And predominantly everyone around there is doing their best. That's as simple as that. And a lot of people are doing it a lot harder than others because of addiction within the homes or alcoholism, abuse. Yeah. How was that different from your neighbours and what did you go through?
Yeah, man, as you were saying then, you know, everyone's got their different troubles that are going on you don't really know about. But in ours, man, we just had a stepdad that was abusive to my mum. So we just grew up from a young child, every single one of us just seeing my mum get bashed all the time, you know. So I don't know if that affected her that much that it was hard to take care of us eventually, you know. So she just being a drinker, getting rid of her little troubles, and then we're kind of inheriting them, you know. I feel like we inherited her problems. So, man, I'll take you back to the start of it. I don't really tell many people. But, all right, so it was just my two older brothers and my younger sister. My dad wasn't around. We lived with my mum over the years. Dad's wherever doing his thing. All right, so we're young, man. Stepdad comes in and out of our life and all this kind of stuff. Abusive to my mum. My mum's just a drunk. He's gone, and then... And how my little brother was born, bro, I don't really tell many people this, but so my brother, my oldest brother's mate, he ended up having a child with my mum. So that's some fucked up shit to us.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So me being a young lad, 10 years old, and you find out your mum's pregnant to your older brothers.
So when you say your older brothers, how many years difference was that between,
say, he was in year 12 or something, bro, when I was like 10 or something.
So he was technically... still a teenager, coming into adult.
He's still a teenager, bro. So that shit fucked me up hard. Yeah. That fucked my life, bro. I never thought it would be... I never told many people this, bro. But then I tell you what, man. I was a young lad and I heard NWA and Ice Cube and then Eminem come out. You hear stories how Eminem's like...
Oh, when my mama was...
Everything's
about my mama. Yeah, alcohol and pills.
And shit. Yeah. Man, and then I'm like... Wow, bro, this dude goes to the same school as me and has a child with my fucking... or goes to the same school as my older brothers. I was still in like primary school.
How did your older brothers deal with that? Were they?
Bro, they moved out of the house straight away, bro. Well, young kids moving out. So
and he was was he moving in to be with
him? He was
mom?
In, bro. Yeah, yeah. He was in. This house. So you know how fucking
fuck
you
me, know how, brother.
You know how fucking I never wanted to because I always had smarts about myself, bro. I'm not a dumb person. I'm a good fucking human, bro. I mean, good. I try to do good things, but the shit from seeing stuff like that when I was young, it felt like it molded me into this fucking monster, bro. When I say menace, bro, like there's some things I've done that I'm not proud of, lad. Heaps of things I've seen that I never thought I would replicate or ever want to do to anyone, bro. But just, I felt like from that day and age, bro, me being a young 10-year-old and taking that on and my brother's moving out and it's just me and my younger sister and my little brother now with my mum and some guy that's supposed to be a stepdad that's no fucking brains. He's just a psycho, like dead set.
Can I...
Like, proper...
Just cut in for a second there, and I've heard some stories. I've heard some horrific stories. I've heard traumatic. This is one very different to anyone I've ever sat down with.
It fucked me. It fucked me, bro. Personally, heaps.
Do you mind? Always... Do you mind if I elaborate a little bit on? Are you okay to talk about it?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I know
yeah,
you
yeah.
said
I'm
it's not something
talk...
you talk about.
Nah, that's all good, man. I'm happy to talk with you about this. I was
This is something to... that. I don't know how does a young boy feel knowing that man in his house is a mate of his brother's that you obviously knew
that fucking yeah
and then you've got your sister to protect a baby.
It was just like, what the fuck? I thought, no way I'm gonna love this little lad. There's no way I'm gonna love this little boy that's gonna be born.
Of course,
bro, me and my brother Justin, I've done songs about Justin. That's my little brother that was born out of it. So me and him are the closest out of my whole family, bro. He's a young lad still. I'm trying to guide him, you know, because eventually his father went to prison and got bashed. I think his father died, bro. He's dead now.
Like oh,
my
bugger.
Brother, so nah, bro. He burnt my mother, lad. He set my mother on fire. He slashed my older brother with a fucking machete across the gut.
Oh, well, like this dude
an evil fucking piece.
Yeah, well,
of shit,
you know
bro.
What, mate? If he.
I wouldn't piss on him, bro.
That's what I mean.
Fire,
if he got his right
Lord,
whack, if he got his right whack and that's where it ended for him behind walls,
yeah,
then he
yeah,
deserved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, man. And,
sucko.
So be it, bro. But I couldn't even. If you asked me that question when I was 10, like, what do you feel about all this going on? Bro, I'm fucking hell confused, lad. Hell confused. I don't even know how to describe what
I'm confused. I'm confused at 45 trying to think of how then can I. Ask you certain, I want to just say, and I really appreciate your honesty here because this is something that, fucking wow, like wow. And now hearing this is, see, I've listened to your music, I've seen the deliverance of you know the way you put your heart and soul in, the way you speak and your vocal, and I love it. I love your passion. I love your drive. And I always knew there's fire underneath you because. You don't get what you've got from just thinking you're fucking this and that.
No, bro.
It doesn't come.
Yeah, no way. I try to keep everything authentic as real and just be me, bro. You see me do my music and I don't group up with none of these men, bro.
You're a one-out soldier.
I group up with a man.
No.
I do my thing, bro, because I felt like my story is told by me, man. I don't have that. I love fucking humans, bro, but I hate them. I hate humans, bro. I fucking hate them.
Yeah,
I don't have no trust. I find it hard to trust anyone in the world, bro. That's why I do my own thing, bro. I can't trust no one. I see people's intentions are just, it's not generosity and just straight out these days. It's always, there's an agenda or something behind someone's help these days. I've learned.
Did you feel?
I learned that as a young cunt, bro. Never to trust anyone, bro.
Yeah, and that was going to be the next part of my question. With that trust, you obviously didn't
trust.
How
could I trust that? I can't trust my mother, lad.
No, that's right. So you're living in a home. You're looking after and protecting a sister because obviously you're the only man in the house
besides this grong. You know? And we've been locked up in the rooms for a month, bro. We're not allowed out of for a month in a room. You know how hard that is as a boy and a little girl, bro. I made a hole through the wall so I could talk to her, so I could see my sister, bro, because, well, I didn't see her. I didn't see her for like weeks, bro. We're locked in a room. And my mother just couldn't do anything about it, bro. She was getting abused. So that's why I say I love her to death, bro. We've had heaps of hard times where we haven't talked. Sometimes we barely talk. If we talk once a month, that's mad, bro. I love that shit.
Did your older brothers know what was going on? And was there anybody else that knew what was going on?
They did, bro, but they couldn't do nothing because they have to get out. They're at that age. Imagine my older brother staying at home trying to make a family of shit. Fucking insane, lad. That is twisted, bro.
Yeah, it is.
He had to go. Then I went eventually, bro. I went at like 13. I went to live with my mate. He was like, his brother was a dealer in Glendenning. My Maltese mates. Ended up living with them for like a year. And then it started me roaming from then, bro, taking on this persona of like, fuck, the world does you over, bro. Just do your own thing.
Did your sister just in the end just give in to the fact that that was what she had to deal with?
She had no choice, bro. Yeah. My sister, because my mum was such a fucking angry soul, bro, and a drunk, that she told my sister that my dad wasn't her dad. So my dad now, he's a good guy, bro. I love my dad to death. Very smart man. He just loved Harry, bro. He was just a fucking junkie.
Yeah.
But he was a good fucking man, bro. You know, he just had an addiction and my mum was crazy, unfortunately, drunk and crazy. And he was fucking heroin that she wasn't going to mix ever. So he was gone at a young age, you know. But, man, I don't know, bro. I don't know.
You, that's kind of weird to think about. Straight off the bat, bro, smashed me for six.
This molded me as a fucking young lad, yeah, you know. This molded me, bro. This made me take on a persona of fuck women, fuck everyone, don't trust no one. I love my mates to death, bro. I'll give you my jumper and my hat. What do you want, bro? I got you, you know. If someone's my mate, I fucking got you, bro. But it was so hard for me to build that trust to go, this kind of loving. You know,
I'm the same, brother, and I can relate, you know, a lot to that. Even when you talk about mothers, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and get in deep. This is your show, but, you know, I still don't talk to my mother. It's been 20, 30 years, and I got no emotional connection whatsoever.
Yeah.
It is what it is, and
yeah,
I don't wake up, and people might listen to this and go, oh, that's really harsh. If anything happened to my mother and I got told tomorrow, I'd be like, oh, it'd be just a stranger to me that passed. And
it's sad, bro. We shouldn't be like
no,
that.
No, we shouldn't.
What it is.
We
it's
shouldn't.
The way it
but
is, bro.
You can't take some back the last 30 fucking years of my life when you haven't been there and come into my life and think you're now wanting to be a grandmother or going to be a fucking contributor to my children's future or me. It ain't happening.
I agree, bro. I fucking agree 100%.
This is my life now. You had your chance to mold your life together with mine and we enjoy it together as a family.
Yeah.
It never happened.
It is what it is, but exactly. As I was saying, it's sad, but it's just the way it is, bro. Like, just time that you can't get back.
So you're out on the streets, basically, jumping from lounge to lounge?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've done that heaps of times in my life, bro. It's something I know more than not.
It's a funny thing, isn't it?
It is, bro. It's a weird thing.
I used to like it because to me I was...
It's funny you say that, bro.
I felt uncomfortable because it was always the lads... Mums that know that you were doing it tough would always give you a feed and a shower and a bed to sleep in. But you still, even when it come to Christmas time and that, you know, there'd be a seat at your table. But I'd say, no, thank you. I'm okay. And then I'd go and find a park and sit in and get blind drunk and write myself off on Christmas Day. Because to me, that was family.
And
as much as they showed me love and appreciation, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. When you're young like that, bro, you either... crave that love of someone because you ain't getting it. So you crave to hang with wherever, or you're happy just to float around, bro. You're floating around because you don't want to be a burden on anyone's life, you know.
That's someone's a powerful word.
You're putting your shit. Yeah, and it sucks, bro, to think like that. Like when you're young and you're thinking you're a burden, bro, we shouldn't be saying that. We're young. I should be fucking still sleeping in my bed, bro, comfortable. Instead of some nights, bro, you're like, fuck, where am I going to stay, bro? My mate's mum won't let me stay there. I'll go to Dooney, bro, because we lived in Dooney. My mum fucked up and out over this shit. We moved out. I went to my mates at Glendenning. My brothers went wherever the fuck they went for years. My sister was always, she's younger. She can't leave my mum, bro. She ain't allowed to, you know?
Yeah.
So she was stuck with it, bro. Actually, bro, to come think of it, man, she the best in our family, bro. She's got her head screwed on the most and she had to stick there the whole time. You know, she's like a school teacher now. She's got kids. She's got a good husband, bro.
Oh, what like, a story.
Man. Yeah, yeah. She's a fucking legend, bro. I had to bring that up quickly.
Out of everything she's seen, bro,
she soldiered on and kept her mind right. Where me, bro, I was a bit more fucking crazier or emotionally everywhere. That it fucked me up for many years, bro. Many, many years.
It's funny. People, I guess, you know, look at it and people that don't know, and there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast because they appreciate the stories from our guests because they're real and they're raw. You know, I get constant messages from people saying, wow, you've opened our eyes to the other side. Well, to me, it's not about us coming from the other side. It's about how life was. It is. It's just who and how it was. We didn't choose it. He chose us, and we did the best we could with what life tools we were given, which was called survival. There was no how to have a bank account and save your dollar each week that goes into your lunch money and go to school. What the fuck was a bank? What was a school bank? Every kid used to come to school with these, you know, Commonwealth bank books with their little coins, and I'll be like, teachers would come around and collect it, and I'll be like, what's that?
I swear I took it to school, but I don't remember that money ever hitting my bank account. I think I've done it like twice. Maybe the school kept it. I don't know what Jenny's policy was back then.
But the thing is, people are genuinely taken back by where people like yourself are today through these terrible traumas and upbringing that, you know, they're shocking. They're shocking. You know, like we always say when we talk about it, it's our story because we've come. It was a part of the environment. You know, we're a product of the environment that we live in. And Dave and Barry and Johnny and Jackie and that, they're all in the same boat. Because you know what? Like I said before, within the area, it's pretty well happening in every house or every second house. So you don't sit there and think that you know, while I'm getting molested underneath the house next door, you know, she's getting molested two doors up, he's getting molested. And, you know, no one wants to hear about it. No one wants to deal about it because that's what happens in the in the houses, you know. It's a tough road, brother. And, you know, I've got to say, man, congratulations to your beautiful sister. If she hears this, I don't know you, but from right now, you got a place in my heart. That's solid. Well done.
Yeah. Listen, bro, I'll take you back a little bit on the journey, lad. I'll go back to where we're talking about, right? So me being young, man, we're finding out that we're having a little brother to someone that's the age of my older brother. You know what I mean? The shit was devastating, bro. I thought, like, no way I can love this kid, bro, because it's come from this dude. You know, his name was Trevor, bro. So he's just a bad, evil cunt. And then my brothers moved out. They done what they did. My little brother was born. His name's Justin. And then I'm like, fuck, bro, I love this dude so much. You know, I love this dude so much, man. And then when his father's fucked over my mother, we got moved to Layla Park. So my mum got put in a house. I remember it was before Christmas, man. I ended up going to live with them. We had to sleep on a mattress on the floor in front of a fucking $2 fucking Christmas tree. And it was mad, bro. I remember that memory heaps because I'm like, we're together again, bro. We got a family together.
Yeah.
This dude's gone, bro. I ain't fucking my mum over no more, you know? Yeah. And then things got better, bro. My brothers would come and that. And then my little brother's dad, he ends up coming back into my life. He boils his way into my mum's life, pretend that he seek Jesus and all this bullshit. You know, pretended that he went to the Red Cross, done all this bullshit, come in and just fucking swindled me mum one more time.
Was he an alcoholic? Was he like a heavy drinker or drug addict or anything like that?
He just booting gear, bro, and shit.
So he was a junkie?
Smashing the goalie back in the day, you know, when they're just fucking loose cunts, bro. Then cunts that you can't even approach, bro, that if you say one wrong thing, you're fucking
off. They're gone.
It's over. It's over, you know. So he worked his way in for another year or two. Me growing up, man, getting older and that, I'm starting to go around and go back to Dooney and hang around with my mates. And I just started to take that love off the brother's life, bro, instead of hanging with a broken home. I'll go do bad shit, bro. I'll hang with my mates, Jays and Conrads and this and that and Dooney. And mad love, bro. I love them cunts to death because we got to go around. We're stealing DVDs, make a $20 for a stick, lad. Buying sticks back then. Robbing clothes stores, the boys are, bro. Keep watching.
Did you used to go down the Druitt pub and get the old foil under the table, old stick?
No, bro. We were jam-packing telephone booths, bro, at the station. I'd jam-pack a bra with straws and that. Everyone's changed it.
Do you remember the old blue ones?
Yeah,
I used to walk around. I used to fucking sit the old blue ones. I used to be able to pop them, like squeeze them from underneath the coin thing, pop them open, slide out the cash box, empty the cash box, slide it back in there and lock it back up.
There you go, bro. We done it. Everyone done what they did in the days you're learning. When we're younger, like I'm 30-odd years old, bro. You know, I'm not a little boy, bro. I'm not 20 years old. So I remember the old ways of all the old boys. We're doing snowdrop and they were stealing clothes off with clotheslines, bro. Like no one does that these days. It ain't even done anymore. My brothers, bro, are stealing like 26 red and all clothes, Hugo Boss and shit before people were wearing that kind of shit. They were like them kind of dudes.
Yeah.
Everyone in Doonside was the same. I hung around a lot of Koori boys because we grew up together there. So we're all mates, you know what I mean? So everyone was doing shit together, bro. We're all making money or doing what you can to get by.
Were you lads coming to Para and Penrith and doing the country road runouts from Myers?
Yeah, everything,
like,
bro.
Stacking them in. There used to be a car park that you used to be able to drive into, the actual car park, and the doors would open. And I remember the menswear section, and this is when country road had Japaras and all the mag crew wear and stuff, right? And why don't we get two lads go in there and stack it? Next minute, card pull up, hottie, boom, stack, boom, straight out the door.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of my family, they're doing good now, bro. I've got the occasional cousin, he just gets out of jail. We just got out of here the other month, and he's like, oh, bro, I'm going to go do this again. I'm like, what are you doing, lad? You just done 5 years. You just got out for 5 years.
No way.
Some mentalities, bro, you can't change, you know what I mean? He's from Dooney too, bro. He broken home. My uncle died of an overdose, so hit him hard.
Yeah.
So, like, he just one of the ones that just didn't pop through. Anyway, bro, going back to young and bro, hanging around the boys in Dooney and that, I'm like, fuck, bro, I got love off the boys, man. We're doing this shit. We smoking weed, we're doing bad shit, pills, this, that, every now and then. But it was something that I got love from, and I molded my life for the last fucking, the next 6 years to me turning 18 to hanging with these boys and getting mad love and enjoying life, bro. So whatever we're doing back then, it just molded me as a mask I put on, and that was me. I could not change it. As much as the bad shit I seen my mum go through, my anger level is huge, bro. My anger level very high. I'm a very, very angry person, but I'm over, like, I either love you to death, bro, I hate you to death.
Yeah,
whatever that emotion is, I'm very, very passionate on whatever. If I love you, bro, I love you to death, yeah. You know? If I hate you, bro, I'm like, I've got a grudge like 50 Cent, bro. You would never break it. You know what I mean?
You know what? I think there's a lot of us. I'm the same. I'll either give you my shirt, socks, undies, a bed to sleep in, and my last cent, or I'll wipe you like a dirty ass, and you'll fucking float out to the ocean. Yeah, bro. See ya.
You know? So me, being a young lad, I'm like, oh, bro, I'm going to grab music. I love music, bro. I've always loved. First time my brother's got a six stacker or three stack. I don't remember what it was. Six, it was a fucking CD player. I tell you the CDs it had in it, bro. It was NWA. It was West Side Connections.
Bow Down.
Yeah, fully. It was Tupac CD or some bullshit was in it. Tupacalypse or something like that. And I got an Eminem CD, bro, and that was it. Game over, lad. Game over. That just said, you're going through tough times like these guns, and this white fella can rap Eminem. Fuck, bro, I'm doing this, lad. This is what I want. I love music. And then I just freestyled all the way up to parties, growing up from Doonside to Layla to Campbelltown, over to other boys in Penrith's house, and we just float around for years. And
so is it safe to say that was your inspiration, the words and lyrics from Eminem?
Yeah, 100%.
And,
you know, looking
in the mirror going, that's me. I this is my life. I'm living this, you know. And
hands down, brother.
I want to create my
passage.
Because
when you have something similar and you realize, like, when you go to school, bro, when you're young, you don't tell cunts about all the troubles you're having at home.
No, you can't.
I wasn't telling no one of that. No way. My mates were, like, playing soccer. Some were playing footy. They got mad lunches and that, bro. Yeah. It wasn't something they were going to school telling people. So you hid this kind of life, bro. You hid your troubled life, you know. Where these days we want to talk about it, where men, bro, please let us talk about it these days. It helps us.
Yeah.
We can reflect on shit to help other kids and that. But back then, it was just you held in whatever was happening at home. You didn't tell no cunt.
I remember.
You're not telling your mum she's getting bashed or raped or fucking burned or this or that.
No way. And the thing was, you know, like, you went to school, and if you did say anything, people would split from you. Like, then all of a sudden, Mr. and Mrs. Jones would say, oh, no, don't hang out with Johnny. He comes from a bad home. You're not allowed to go there. Their parents are no good. And you're alienated straight away. So not only are you feeling at home that you're completely vulnerable and your whole world's just not what life should be about, but you're going to school and then feeling alienated from your own peers, where you get that support and you feel like you've got some sort of community around you that gives you a driving moment to get up each day and say, oh, I got school, let's go.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
You know? How old were you when you sort of left school, and were you sort of in and out of trouble at school, or was it actually so bad?
I was always, I was just a cheeky kind. I had older brothers that went to the school, so they had girls and shit. As soon as I got into year 7, I was at the gate, bro. Year 12s used to give me a kiss on the cheek, these girls, bro. Fuck, lad. That set me out. That paved the way, bro, for my high school.
So you're a handsome little cunt.
Oh, yeah, bro. Good looking boy, lad. You know what I mean?
Hey, good looking cock from the area.
Bro, I already had it hooked up. By my older brother's a swab cunt, bro. You know what I mean? My oldest one, Matty, he's just a good guy, nice. Marcos, he's more like my fucking twin. But the cunt was he's just a good looking boy, bro, and he's just going to school swindling all the chicks. So by the time I went to year seven getting kissed at his year 12s, bro, shy as lad, I swear to God I was. And then they were like, I'm like, oh, fuck, bro. This is going to set my fucking me getting the wuzzles, bro. This is going to set me all the way through high school. And it did.
It did, bro. Did the Menos have his little black book?
Bro, I didn't need a black book, bro. They needed a black book.
Fuck, imagine you having a mobile back then just full of chicks' numbers. It would have been the old brick, wouldn't it? Or the old Motorola flip phone.
Bro, I swear. Well, it must have been 5110s.
Oh, the old 51, the Nokias.
You know, one of my mates, his dad was a tattooist, you know, giving us a phone, bro. He was getting them when they first come out. We thought we were the fucking king shit, bro. You got a phone like that. What the fuck? I got to give it to you. I never had shit like that, bro, you know?
Oh, 100%. It was like fucking killing it.
I couldn't get one of those, bro.
Nah. That's like when you get your first pair of Air Maxes. You know, like I remember I was that kid in volleys, you know what I mean? And just getting stood over in the houses by the couries, you know, because I lived on a mission. And then all of a sudden, we did over a particular sports store, and I got roided out of it because I was with the older boys. I was just, you know, tagging along. But I got me shoes and I got me – it was an Adidas Stefan Edberg tracksuit, and it was a pair of Nike Air 180s, the original ones. Mate, I was killing it. Anyway, they were good days, you know, and you just didn't realize. But then, sure as hell, got up the street and then I got rolled. But that's another story. The last time I got rolled, I tell you. But they got one shoe off me and stabbed me in the leg. But that's all right. I was only young. Yeah. I came back in vengeance, brother. But how good's that feeling, though, like when you don't have anything, like you say, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to feel good, you know, you're dressing well, but you come from nothing. You got nothing.
You love that shit, bro. We, of course, especially as you said, coming from nothing and you get something like that, you're cheering, bro. I mentioned in one of my songs, bro, called Thoughts, that, like, about my brothers. Oh, no, it might have been Heartless, about me brothers giving me their hand-me-downs. Yeah. Like, in our life, I got to wear, like, Adidas shirts. And my brothers were stealing from Grace Brothers before it was Maya and shit like that. Like, they were getting good shit, bro, and they would bring it home and I had a fucking ink stain on it, bro, where they fucking ripped it out.
David Jones were the worst for that.
They would sell it to us, bro. My brother selling us something.
Did you ever do the old milk trick? Try and soak it in milk, trying to fucking get the stain.
Nah, I didn't.
It never worked, but we used to just get told to do it, you know what I mean? Same thing. Lads are artists, no good, can't sell this.
I was a decent kid at school, bro. I always loved, if I seen someone doing it tough, bro, I'd always get that weird fucking compassionate feel for them or something, bro. I wanted someone to win if they weren't winning, bro, you know? I was never like dissing a cunt or putting someone down.
Nah, picking them up.
It was never, bro, never. Yeah. I was always the opposite, you know? At school, you do some fucked up shit. It is what it is, bro. No one goes there being a saint, you know what I mean? We're still children. We've got to learn what's bad and what's not.
I was doing a lot of that shit still. Through your lyrics and us just having our chats and stuff, you know, you're not silly by any means. You know, the way you speak, the way you hold yourself, I really, really enjoy listening to you. I like what comes out of your mouth. Well, I've come to talk so much bullshit. You just take an inch, throw the rest, and it's still worth
shit.
When
you've been through the bullshit, bro, I kind of try to avoid them conversations, bro. I don't feel genuine even talking about bullshit.
No, I think you're very intellectual.
It's exhausting hearing people like that too.
You are. And then with school, did you sort of get much out of school? I mean, obviously lots of pussy, much education? Punane, punane.
Oh, brother, listen, man. I took on board lessons in life from it. You go there, bro. Some cunts only there for themselves, or the teacher would tell me, you got something more, man. Don't you be one of these other ones. Don't be a fuckwit. You know, they tried to steer me, say, you got more of a mind than what you think. Don't go fucking throwing it in the drain or fucking...
What was your favourite sort of subjects? Was music one of them? Did you get involved in high school with music?
Music was good. I tell you what, bro, I was always good at shit, but when it come to the crunch, bro, I didn't want to be put on show, lad. I didn't want them to shove me on stage or...
No, you were a bit shy.
I was total opposite, bro. I was total opposite when it was like that. Like, I'm an outspoken dude and I'll do the fucking funny shit, bro, and I was known as that guy that was talking to the women all the time or being funny or had good mates, bro, you know, we're all fucking popular, this, that. But when it comes to certain shit, bro, I didn't want to be looked at. I didn't want them to watch All Eyes on Me.
Wow.
I didn't want that shit. Even now, bro, I love performing, bro. I love being on stage, man, and being able to tell my story, and other people are fucking frothing it, bro. They're in the row.
Your earlier stuff, and I mean, we'll get into this a little bit more later, because, you know, at the moment, I think it's important we continue on the journey of who you are. But later in life, you know, you talk about your shows, the energy that you created. And quote me if I'm wrong, but I think it was you and a couple of other lads that brought together the scene, the live scene again, you know, bringing other artists into the same venues and letting everybody get a bit of everybody's
talents. Definitely, bro. When we all
was a big shift, wasn't it? You know, so oh, you
it was,
you talk
we
about
it all back on again.
Yeah, yeah, that's my point.
On.
You know,
there was a time where it was plateauing, bro, and no one was doing certain shit.
Mm.
And then me, Chill, Wombat, Husky, Audaboy, Shadow,
yep.
Everyone, bro, we all come together and made these shows, man, and it started to take it off again for Oz, I believe.
I truly do too. You know, but I look at that and then I think we go back to our conversation that we're at now with school and you know, here's you obviously starting to hone your talents but not truly knowing 100% what you were capable of. So, you know, you were shy. You sort of didn't mind putting the lyrics or your vocals out there, but you didn't want to be exposed.
Yeah, yeah. When I was young, 100%. When it come to a time where you're like, fuck this, bro. I got to do something. I got to do something in my life. I work now. I own a little roofing company. So I got shit going good. I get good money when I'm working. It keeps me all fucking sane and positive and no idle hands. But with the music shit, you have to do it. You have to put it all in. If you shy away from opportunities, you miss something bigger stuff, like the biggest stuff in your life.
Did you do much crime when you were coming out of high school? Were you ever sort of locked up?
I never got locked up. I done rehab.
Yep.
You know, I've done detox, rehab.
I'd love to talk more about that as well. You know, I mean, yeah, obviously, man, that what? How old were you once that sort of started? The drugs became, you know, deep into
listen,
your
man, I always,
daily life.
I was mainly just smoking weed, but I love weed. Weed was mad. I loved it. I loved to be chilled instead of being an erratic person. I felt like it calmed me down. Where I just
got my vape right here, brother.
I just become someone that was so reliant on it to sleep over fucking 10 to 12 years or something. It fucked my life, bro. I was just selling it, doing a little bit of crime with the boys, bro. You know, we'll rob a house, bro. We'll do something like that. We'll steal from shops and shit. I was never like, let's go do armed robberies and shit like that. We weren't at that stage yet. We're young cunts, bro, stealing clothes. And
your music's not even stuff. Like that either. Like,
that's
you hear,
not at all.
You,
that's
you,
not at all, bro.
You hear a lot of lads come out and they think they've fucking done bro. Big whacks and they've been a part
like
of the
that.
System.
And if you did stuff, you don't talk about it like
no,
that.
No, brother. But yet, all of a sudden, you know, they're out there and they're fucking, what do they call it, drilling. They're all sick cunts, shanking, hanking, banking, and, you know, umping and pumping and stumping, eshaying and fanging. Like, cunts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I love anybody that's out there doing their thing. I got no negative for it. But
that's
don't preach.
My music, bro.
Don't preach if it ain't be real.
What I am. That, my and music resonates it.
100%. And that's what I think, you know, you as a person hold so much sort of presence when you do, like now. You know, you deliver something, whether it be your music or talking just generally out to people that are struggling or explaining, you know, what it is that you have done in your dark times, you know, whether it be through, you know, breakups, your kids, whatever it is, you know, you've always kept it 100% real.
That's the only way to be, bro.
You can't buy that shit. You can't buy that shit. And a lot of people these days try to wear a facade that this is my life.
I see it a lot. And in this music industry I'm in, bro, it's very see-through now. It's very see-through. I work with a lot of people, bro. I've done fucking features with a lot of people in Australia. Like, maybe more than any artist, connection-wise. Like, with Curse, Enter, Chills, Triple Ones, Huskies.
They've all been bangers, too. They genuinely have all been bangers. Like, fuck, man. Everybody's got some mediocre shit. Let's not fucking piss in the wind. But when you talk about your connections and your deliverances... Fuck, man, there's been some
yeah, bro,
really
I believe flow, deliverance, there's so many key factors to this music thing and being like It's to be straight honest, you either got something or you don't, bro.
So when did you realize, though, that you had something, and how old were you that then started setting you on a track?
I'll tell you, bro, this is not an old thing for me. This is 6 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, 6 years ago. I was rhyming my whole life since I was young. I was telling you, Eminem, bro, we had a similar life, so I thought, fuck it, bro, I'm going to mold myself to this guy, like fully, bro. Mold my fucking upbringing to a young adult to do with every word that they're saying and shit like that. So I've always been around music. But when it comes to me writing stuff, all right, I got a mate in Layla Park, Alex. He's probably one of my best mates. And I'm over there with always partying that and freestyling. He bought a mic and shit. So I'm like, oh, mad. I'm going to start just freestyling and recording shit. And the next thing you know, bro, we got hours and hours of recordings on it. And I'm like, fuck, bro, I could take this further.
Just like garage music, just there, just busting out.
Just busting to fucking old school hip hop beats like Tupac, Biggie, Big L.
Yeah, right.
All that bullshit, all the old shit. And he's like, bro, you're fucking really good, bro. You got to start doing something. You got to write it down. I'm like, well, maybe I should. I started writing shit. I made an album in like 6 months, bro. I ended up, because I knew Forte from the area. We're from Blacktown, so I know Forte. You know, he knew my brothers.
Yeah, right.
Everyone loves Weed.
He's a special isn't he? I've never met him, but I know we know a lot of the same people. And
he is one of a kind, bro. One thing I've learned over the years, he's a good cunt. People have always been like, Fort, bro, gets on his lives and drunk and does this. But tell you what, he's always said what he needed to say.
I think he's pulled his head in now from those lives, hasn't he? He chills down a bit now.
But, oi, brother, I'll always love Forte, bro. I know a lot of people know, if you know me, bro, and you know my music, you know that I jumped on with At Large to start with.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Yous were punching his first bongs when he first brought him out. And I remember he used to sit there before Chill was doing it or anybody else. Before you had Chill these green, these fucking high green Viz fucking bong things that looked like the old, you know, the old red fucking flares we used to turn around and make bongs out. That's what I thought it was. And you two used to sit there. Well, bro, there was lives and there was lives. You were the only ones doing this shit on lives. And he was like this gangster fucking Aussie rapper. And you were in there just punching these fluoro green books. I seen that shit when it first kicked off.
Yeah, bro. Fought one of a kind, bro. And he was one of the first originators to do this hip hop shit, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, you've got people before him, all the Brad Struts, bro, and all the Mad Aussies and that.
See, I go back to the era when it was all out your way, Death Wish Cast, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was our scene, you know.
That was before me. I wasn't too into that because I wasn't listening to Aussie shit, bro, I'll be honest. I grew up on fucking Cypress Hill, Ice Cube and NWA, bro. Like, I wasn't listening to that, bro. I wasn't. I was just a young lad, parties, and it was gangster shit. No one in Dooney was listening to Aussie shit back then. Because it wasn't around much. It was enters, curses, and blah, blah, blah.
Did you get to the Horton Pavilion to watch anything? Or were you too young?
No, I didn't. I'm pretty young, bro.
You just fucking missed it, man. Every time there was a rap,
I wasn't really in the scene. Oh. So I missed out on a lot of stuff like that, bro.
We had the biggest battles there, and it'd be us against the coppers. Like, we had one of the biggest riots after a mass Run DMC concert.
Of course you did.
We did, bro. They had the whole of the Horden surrounded with horses and everything. It was me, Tavern, Bosky, Roski, fucking, you name it. And then Thorn was there. Everybody.
Oh, right,
everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm talking the original Searchers of Sydney. And
we're just
all lads ready to rip in, you know, and all on the streets just cut and sick. And, man, that was, we were there. And it wasn't the internal part of the, it was just us against the cops. You know, and it was like, what a mad concert, Run DMC, everyone's pumped. Like, Public Enemy was the same.
So I done an album, I wrote it straight away, and then I just jumped on with Fort, bro. And he's like, listen, bro, if you want to, I'll be honest, actually, about 6 months before that, we're having a session, maybe with my brothers or something, having some millies. And he's like, Mitchell's just starting to rap now, you're freestyling shit. He goes, when you're serious, come back to me. I said, I'll hold you to that, lad. 6 months later, I wrote a full album. Straight Men is No Chasers. I wrote that. And that was it. I gave it to him. He's like, what are you doing, bro? You're right. He goes, if you fucking want to pursue it, jump on At Large with me and let's go. And that was it. That's game over, bro.
Can I ask,
I am going to get better and better off every track.
I want to ask you straight up about that album because that was one of your first, obviously, that I listened to. Yeah. And, you know, for me, it's solid, you know. How did it go? Like, because the platforms that you had to release it on, you know.
Facebook was the thing in 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Now I feel like Insta's where it's at. That's where most of my followings are.
Really?
That's where most of the people are looking at stuff. Insta is just more, Facebook was more like you do a status, share a song, people will fuck with it, but that was it, you know what I mean? Where yeah. Insta grew to like, you're showing videos and you got reels, bro, and you got pictures more now. So
yeah, how many, you've put the album out, someone's backing you and believing you. So all of a sudden, Mitchos is realizing that, you know, these hard times that you've grown up in are and can change right now. You've got a door that's open to make the best opportunity. You talked about prior to the music day that you were working. So you sound to me like you've always been a hard worker. You're not a criminal.
Oh, listen, bro. Like, I started late with this work shit. I could never hold a job, bro.
Yeah.
Could never hold a job. I'd always last a month, 2 months here, there, just doing factory's job, trying to earn money, trying to show my family that I'm not a shit cunt, bro. So I would always try work, you know. Just love the pot, love the pills, always addicted on something like that. But I was always trying to have a go, bro. So I was always like, I knew to do the right thing, bro, just in the environment. I just couldn't get through the door, lad. I couldn't stay there long enough to do it.
It's hard, eh?
But listen, man, I've always trying to do an honest living. I've always. I believe that's key, bro. I've got kids in that now too, so...
And I think
honest
that's something
is always what I want to do, bro. Like,
I think that's something really important to put a message out there to our viewers at the moment and listeners, especially, you know, these young lads out there that are out there that just idolize yourself and many others in Australian hip hop at the moment. You know, they all try to live their lives, you know, like they've got to live their own life. Take the things
hard.
That you
and
guys
them,
genuinely talk about and learn from it.
Man, I'll tell him, bro. I'll tell him. If anyone is listening, man, and you're a young fella, bro, and you idolize us, we love you so much for that, and I respect it. But I'll tell what the gangsterous thing is. Look after your family.
Amen.
Look after your family, bro. Take care of your kids or your mom or your partner. Put the effort in, bro. That's gangster. If you look after your own, even you getting a job, even if you have to work a 9-to-5, do that shit. If you're doing it for your family, bro, that's what you're doing. You're doing them steps.
It's purpose, eh? And it's a good feeling. Purpose
is. Don't ever be ashamed of 9-to-5, bro. So I know some mates that won't do it, but they'll sit at home, do nothing. I'm like, what are you on about, cunt? What do you mean, fuck the government, but you're sitting at home getting 750 off the cunt? No, bro, you can't say that if you're doing that.
Nah.
Go out and do some gangster shit, bro. Earn some money for your family.
Yeah, it is. It's being a real man. And, you know, like if you feel that.
Fucking hope it is, bro.
You know, people can still choose. For example, man, there's 1,000 rappers in a room now. Like, and if you want to be the greatest, then put that work ethic into something like that. You
do
know,
it.
Your creative 100%. Side.
If you've got ambitions and goals, by all means, bro, they need to take that shit.
Yeah.
Because we're just another number. And we're only here for fucking 80-odd years if we're lucky. You know what I mean? The shit we've done in life, we're lucky to hit 80 these days, bro.
Oh,
we're
going
to be lucky.
Pray if my kids even get me to 75.
Yeah, look, man, I've said the same thing, bro. When I was younger, I had a feeling I was going to die young, lad.
I was 21.
I don't know why I thought that as a young cunt. Maybe what a shit I've been through.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have a mad quick life, bro. I'm going to die when I'm like a teenager or something. Weird as, bro. I don't know why I thought that when I was younger.
All I always my thing was I always guaranteed I would tell you I'd never make it to 21. It was just something I never thought I was either going
to
get knocked,
it tends
shot,
to be
dead,
someone,
whatever.
Some the people that have kind of been through this kind of shit in life that you kind of be like, Why would it go right for the rest of your life, bro? We've got to be ending young.
Yeah.
For us.
But the flip side of that is life's pretty fucking good for Menace. Especially
bro,
off the back of no chases. How
good,
was
bro.
It?
Bro, I wake up mad. I go to bed, bro, smiling. Mother's lad. I never used to do that. I never smile before bed.
That's beautiful.
This is my routine, my brother. I promise you. I go into the fucking room of my oldest son. I kiss him and tell him I love him, bro, when he's asleep. I go into my second youngest ones now. I go into Carter's room, bro, and I kiss him on the head. He's my little mini-me, bro. Everyone reckons in my family, they're like, he's not your son, it's your clone.
Oh.
Like, he is the spit out of my mouth, lad.
I got one
same
of them.
Mannerisms.
You seen him on my Instagram? Fuck.
Bro, the same mannerisms, whatever. We do everything the same.
Yeah.
It is built in him that he's just me, bro. I go in there, I kiss him on the head, and I'm like, I love you, bro. They're my best things to do before I go to bed. Not many people know this, bro, but I just had a child the other day, I told you. So I got a new one, Rome.
Congratulations to
you,
brother.
Bro,
I think that is just so beautiful the way you said that.
These children mean the most to me, bro, more than anything. If you ask me to throw this fucking semi-fame or whatever you just want to call that I got at the moment and all this music shit, I give up that in a heartbeat for my family, lad.
That's why
I do what I do, bro. So everything's for them. I go earn money, bro. I do this roofing company. I do this rap.
Well, that's the thing. You've been doing this roofing company, and you've been doing this rap. You know, no chasers. I want to hear it from you. I believe that was a success.
Yeah, bro. That was me. There wasn't someone like me in the game.
No.
There wasn't no one in the game in 2016 that was like me. I wasn't like none of them. I come in and done that, and I had every single rapper under the sun hit me up. Like, they didn't even fucking know me yet. Only Fort knew me because in the area, weed, this, that. But no one knew me. As soon as I put that song out and I put Curvy was in my clip, I didn't even know who Curvy was then. Curvy jumped in the clip with one of my mates, Aldo, and I'm like, oh, Curvy, he done that song with Nebs. I just remember, like, Curvy was starting to boost his young-ass lad, bro, yeah. And he can spit like a motherfucker, you know?
He's very
clever. Jumped in me clip. He jumped in me clip.
Oh, so that wasn't an invite for him to be there with you. He just turned up with the boys.
He just come with one of me mates, bro, and he's like,
bullshit.
Sitcom. And then I end up kicking the fucking friendship off with him, bro.
So
and,
did he share it? Did he have a bit of a platform?
Yeah. Because we're all just kind of boosting it back up. And I just come into the game.
Oh, man.
Tattoos on me back and me chest. And I've done a line off me phone, bro.
Yeah.
In the film clip. And everyone was like, who is this?
That's right. That was right. Bro. When you walked into
no
the lounge.
No one was doing that shit. No one done a line of cocaine off his phone during the big clip. I wasn't even playing, bro. My mate just bring it out as we're filming. I'm like, what the fuck you doing, lad? Just snort a line off the
because
phone.
Because it was in perfect context with the song. And it was in perfect timing for where the lyrics were in the song.
It just fit. Bro,
are you kidding me? So was that organic?
It was organic. Bro.
Well, I'm not talking about the rack. The rack was definitely not organic, but actually, you don't know what the fuck was on your fucking phone.
Listen, bro, I've been a fan of cocaine before. Comes with doing cocaine.
Oh, how good is it?
We
I
just
loved
knew
it.
People that knew people.
Life was good.
Families, bro. They're yeah, just, they're
it's
just
someone. We're called the mafia.
That were all my problems, bro. You know, always. I was a good person, worked on this, that.
Just loved a big fat McDonald's straw with a fucking lunch bag.
No, I was more pills and shit back then, bro.
Really?
Like pills and weed. And I just, it took a hold of me, bro. I didn't care what any cunt says, bro.
What sort of pills? Let's just talk about that
sleepers,
for a second.
Sleepers and E's, bro.
Like you're talking about Xannies?
I was more just like Valiums and everything I could get my hands on. Then Xannies kind of got introduced more. This was years and years ago. They come and I was just like, oh, yeah, mad. And then I tell you where I found out I found myself, bro, having the maddest problem where I would wake up. I thought it was March, bro. It was like July or something. Holy fuck, I forgot like 2 months of my life or whatever just by taking sleepers, man. I'm like, listen, I need to get help. So I went to rehab, man, and I went to the Glen. You heard of that? Yeah. Up
north. It's just short of Grafton.
I went there, bro, and it was like, it was full on for me, lad, a young lad. And I'm like, fuck, bro. I felt shit because I'm like, a lot of cunts are like, oh, yeah, they're just weed and sleepers, bro. How can you be addicted to that? Are you serious, cunt? That was the best things on life. Like, yeah. They're easy. And then when you just have that, you got nothing else going in life and you're just an angry cunt, as soon as you stop that shit, bro, you frizzle out and you become a psycho cunt. So this was when my son was born, Chase. And I wanted to be a better fucking person, bro. You know, like being a father means everything. So for me to have an addiction and missing months of your son's life and shit because your memory's fucking,
yeah,
you're gone. I knew that was time to fix my addiction. And I went and got clean, bro.
You did.
Put on kilos, bro. I got big and I felt good. And
you could see the change in your appearance. Like it was a period where you were looking gaunt, bro. You're looking like you're just fucking running day and night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You could see because if you look through my clips, lad, listen, man, I've never been on ice, bro. I've never been macking the gear. I never was into that because I was always, I loved sleep, bro. Whatever it was sleep for me. But you look through my clips, bro. If you look through my first ones all the way to now, you look at the weight changes, bro.
I've seen it.
Big down, up, down. 90 kilos, 75, 90. And it was just times where I was at the gym, nice and staunch, looking good. And then simply cunts would probably go, fuck, this kind of meth or something, bro. This kind of crack. But nah, lad, it was just sleepers.
What about weed, the time where you're putting up you on the roof? You put weight on and then you're up on the roofs and you're running amok on your fucking going, look at this cunt. Look at the size of him. He's running around on these fucking roofs.
Bro, I fell through one of the cunts before.
I was waiting for it, bro. Are you giving shit or shooting your mate with the fucking, the gun, the nail guns and shit? Like,
yeah, oh, funny, bro. You know. I'll tell you what, bro. even that shit, bro, I look forward to it. I look forward to waking up, going to work and having a laugh with me mates on the roof, because it's earning money, bro, and I'm not doing some bad shit that I was doing. If I wasn't working, I'd do bad shit. It's the way it is, bro. It's in me blood to make money, because I'm going to get it anywhere I can, and I'll get it anyhow I can. I don't care.
Your second album, my brother, came out, and you started to get a little bit darker in your lyrics. Talk us through that period and that record.
All right, bro. Well, the first one was like, I just wanted to get my shit out quick. I feel like I rushed it. Still good content, but it was rushed, bro. I was only building as an MC, bro. I wasn't nowhere near this level, right? So the second one, I'm like, I want more melodic beats. I want to give them a little bit more of me to show them that I'm not just this tattooed dude having a line on his fucking phone. You know what I mean? There's more to me, bro, than just doing them flexi tracks. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll give them a little bit of my insight of why I am and my intricate, the way I put rhymes together, or some relatable shit that I've been through. And then the second one was exactly that, exactly what I stated, you know? Like, I learned that, all right, after just throwing your shit out, it's time to build off each one. If that track's not better than the one before, then it's not good enough. It's not good enough.
You were doing a lot more sort of, what do you call it in the industry, where you start linking up with other artists and recording.
Yeah, a lot of collabs.
That was starting to come through also, I noticed, you were still, see, for me, I went deep into a lot of your songs because I just enjoyed it and it was powerful and I could tell it was coming from deep within the belly. So for me, that was a beautiful thing about you being organic and real. You kept it real, you know, and I've seen the change and everybody starting to collab. And like you say, you know, there's plenty. Now I'll let you introduce who you want to introduce. This is your story through, you know, your connections. But, you know, to me, I was like, oh, fuck, where's it going? You know what I mean? Like, because I liked someone and I wasn't a real big fan of somebody else's.
Yeah,
but then,
me too.
You know, when you sort of put them together, they came out pretty fucking hot.
Yeah, bro. It was more, the collabs that I've done is just, most of them were organic because we liked each other's music.
Did you find, though, that you being as real as you are with some of the lyrics and knowing some of the other lads, and I'm not here to, this is not a diss at anyone.
Good, yeah, fucking smooth,
but
yeah,
just that. Straight out, like...
yeah.
We talk about realism, we 100%. Talk about real life. But I know for a fact there's not 100% that every cunt was around you in that scene was the G. You know what I mean? There was imposters everywhere.
There's cunts there for pictures. But I put it in my recent song, Demons. I'm like, I don't meet up for pics or clout. There's only one route up the Russell Ridge. Because I'm like, I'm talking about...
Track.
They hang around. A lot of the people were doing shit for photos, bro, and to boost their career. It's just the way it is, bro. It's a little bit, it's built in a lot of people, bro. It's built in everyone. You have traits of it. I have traits of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whether you act on it or you want to be like that, you know? Yeah. So a lot of my shit that I work with people, I never take back. There's only a couple of features I'll take back that I'll never do again with that.
Are you still pretty tight with each of those that you've worked with, or has it gotten to the point now where you've sort of drifted and done
this? Like, listen, man, I couldn't keep up with all the collabs I did, bro. I'd be fucking messaging them more than my family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's more than I've got life. So everyone's got a life, bro. I realize where, man, it's hard to be tight with certain people anymore because I've got fucking 3 kids, bro. Little boys to take care of. I've got music. They've got 2 kids and a dog that they're walking fucking 24/7.
Or they've split up with their missus and they're living their free life again, running around with the boys, eating out,
you know,
drinking,
so
playing up, whatever.
A lot of like inboxes I keep happy with cunts, you know, me and Husky talk still, me and Chill talk a lot, me and Anna now and then. Curse, I'm always got mad time for him, bro.
But I'm impressed. I am impressed. And, you know, having stories of redemption is what the Clink is about. You know, there's no story on here that's not impacting from the beginning, and every journey is valuable because I believe everybody has something to give. Yeah. Your story and my story might have crossed paths in our similar ways, but that's your story.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to inspire somebody else that my story won't.
Yeah, man. Like, I'll tell you what, bro. I got through the second album. The third one is Silence. I really like that, bro. I love that album heaps. It's one of my favorites that I've done, bro, because even from Straight Menace, MDMA, starting to get that melodic bit, a little still on my hip-hop steez, and then Silence, bro, I was still a lot of my hip-hop songs, but I had a bit of a grime influence because of the Alex Jones, bro, was a fucking god to me. Him and Sana, bro.
You could see that in the visuals, but any of your clips, like
oh, yeah,
in that period was just... I'll let you describe what you want to call it.
So I was going through that stage where I was getting more of my real stage. So this was me to do with that album. I was kind of separating myself from the scene a bit, bro. So I didn't put no features on it. I think it was, that one had a couple of features. Had Forte, singers. I had singers and that on it. I think I had Alex Jones.
Didn't you have a chick on there too?
Yeah. Chick, I forget her name, to be honest with you. I'm so sorry.
It was good.
I got a couple of girlies on it, but...
You've had a few girlies on your music.
Yeah, because I love that. I love that, Steez, bro. I love that.
It's good.
Where it has a fucking melodic sound and it's harmony. It's harmonious, bro. It's fucking... I love the feel of something that will move me, bro, more than just the fucking beat that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I need someone to... gets out more deeper. I can get up more deeper things, bro, when I hear someone that sets the tone or has got a chorus of that's heavenly fucking beautiful, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Like, so that album, bro, was me getting realer again. And then the last one I just done, that Pray For Them, I felt like that was my best work for sure.
You happy?
Yeah, happy with that. A lot of deep things on it, bro. I got like, when I really set... All right, so I've done a lot of features. I'm starting to get known more over the years, blah, blah, blah. But this one that I just done on this album, the realest shit I've gotten, like Thoughts, that song Thoughts, that touched so many fucking people more than I would ever believe it would reach. Like, I spoke about everything on that. I opened up as much as I could on that. That song was about my stepdad, my mum getting burnt, my brother getting slashed, me learning how to use my legs because I'm used to running from a stepdad. And it's me. It gave them visuals of me as a fucking young boy and what happened
when
my brother was born,
yeah,
all the way to why I'm the man I am now and how come I walk with this frown on my head all the time. And that song just reached that many people, bro. The feedback I got from it was fucking insane, lad. People saying I'm going to commit suicide, bro. They're playing this shit, or them going through domestic violence by their mum. And that, because I just opened up on it, bro. I didn't think I was going to go as deep. Like, and even then, if I told every detail of that, if you play Thoughts, bro, and you listen to that, some kind will hit a tear, or they'll at least relate in some fucking minute way, because that song is like Aussie Housing Commission growing up.
Can I touch on something? Because, I mean, we're talking about family and deep at the moment.
Yeah.
Can I ask, how's it been for your beautiful partner, the mother of your three beautiful children? We always talk about us, and I suppose I'm the same with me. You know, how's your missus stood by you for 17 years? And I think it's, you know, it's good to give them the credit that's due because...
Yeah, hard. We've been up and down for so many years, it's not funny, bro. Like, you know, I've been up and down with her. I've known her for 13 years, bro.
Yeah.
So I've had times on, times off, and I've put her through some fucking hell just through me going through my problems and dragged her into this life of me touring and me getting all these emotions out, me smoking weed or me getting on something to get out an album for 6 months. And she's I put her through heaps, bro. I don't think I ever love anyone ever again, bro, other than her.
That's real, man.
I don't think I ever love anyone. For real, bro. Like the shit I've put her through, bro, like me just being a real man, telling you now, like me being my fucked up stages of smashing the house up and letting my fucking family see it. And my kid is a baby, man. He remember that stuff.
Yep.
Like I put her through the works, bro. And she's still stuck it out and stood by it, waited for me to get through my times in life. And
I think the thing is too, Mitch,
she's a soldier, bro. I love her to death for that. And I'll never... Sad. I don't know, bro. I never love anyone like that.
I'm going to just say it. We're all guilty of what you just said. I don't know anyone that hasn't fucked up.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know any relationship hasn't seriously had any domestic violence in it or abuse. I don't know. Like, I don't know. And I'm being serious. If you've got a real relationship, and I'm talking about it's not okay. It's not okay at all. But we're men enough to say we're fucked up in the past.
Yeah, man.
And being a real man and talking about it. I think it's important.
At the end of the day, we're humans, bro. We are going to fuck up. It's just, I don't condone nothing, bro.
No.
Nothing ever that I've done. And as I said, bro, I've done some things that I'm definitely not proud of, bro. And I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. You know?
You're being a present man. You're being a family man. You're still, you know, you're out there. Your work ethic's through the roof. How are things today? Like right now, the birth of your number three.
Things are good, bro.
You know, the smile. Look at the smile, brother. There's that fucking smile. So we've gone deep. There's been a frown, and Mitchell's turned it right around. Yeah, oh, fuck. I need a contract.
Yeah, I've got to fucking put you on, bro.
Right. Give me it on feature.
We'll do like a Chopper Reed song. Me, you.
I'll send you a track that actually got done by some friends fucking 22 years ago. And it was a song written about my life. And the song's called Hectic. I kid you not. I did the intro and the first verse. Anyway, that's for another day. That was my big fucking.
Well, I'll just show a quick snippet here.
Oh, you don't want to see that. It's old yucky that's shit. It's some serious talk back then. Though, about it. But you're happy. Life's good. You know what's going on for Mitchos right now? Where are you at? And what's
bro,
the goals?
I'm fucking happy, bro. I got a boy. I got a fucking good family, man. My sons are healthy. You know, everything's good. I was quite fucking I didn't really tell anyone about this, yeah, but I mentioned to you, bro. We speak with brothers, you know. So
I was absolutely
honored. I speak to you about this shit, and she fucking during birth, man. It's very, very rare, but the placenta fuses itself to the body inside. So when my son was born, the placenta stayed like was still in.
That's right, because they meant
the cervix or something.
Separate.
Yeah. You know, that's usually right. They pull it off. They fucking cut the umbilical cord, this that. But it wasn't coming off, bro. They had to take it to theater, and then they had to surgically cut it out of her, and she lost 5 liters of blood, bro. She nearly died. So she had she was in HCU, ICU, blood transfusions, man. She had to be stayed asleep. Like they keep you asleep for you to heal, you know. That's and she was in ICU for like 2.5. Yeah, she was in that for a few hours, and then they got her out of it, and then they kept her in ICU for 2 days, and she just bounced around, bro. Like she just good. She just healed. I'm like, what the fuck, man? You just nearly died and here you are.
You women are fucking so strong and powerful. They like, they just give birth. Dude. We get a little cut or a pimple and it's like, oh, fuck that hurt or sore neck.
She a fucking soldier, lad. It made me...
Big credit.
That was traumatic, the amount of blood I've seen.
I want to say seriously to any woman out there like that truly has ever given birth or been... You're soldiers and much love to you all. I mean, I've got four children.
Hard, because... you know, everything you're blessed will go good and that, bro. But there's complications, man, and that might happen like that. And I don't really pray to God, bro, or anything like that. But I did in the hospital. I was by myself just waiting for
it. So it became very intense for you.
Bro, it was intense because that's the mother of my fucking children, bro. So if she ain't around, bro, I don't know what the thoughts I was going through was just like. I couldn't fathom. I couldn't fathom that happening, bro. I was speaking with Husky, bro, in there in the hospital. He's like, you'll be right, lad. He's like, she's got too much to live for, obviously, bro. She's got 3 fucking boys and a knucklehead. She's right, lad. You'll be right, lad.
You got the best fam. Soldier. The best fam just set up right there.
Yeah, bro, that's it. So she soldiered through, bro, and you would never even think she went through that.
God bless her.
Yeah. See, my son's a week tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. I'll let you have a few days for
Wait, what's today? Is it today Wednesday, bro?
Yeah, it was when I went into hospital last Thursday. I went and had my major surgery.
Yeah. Well, he was born Wednesday on the first.
Yeah, so, that's right. Because you told me on the Thursday what was going down, and I was, fuck. I was just coming to, and fuck, man, I've got to reach out to you. And
No, you're a legend. You're a legend.
Bro, I felt very honoured that you were able to share that with me, too. You know, it's
Yeah,
as a
man,
father, that's tough.
You know to go, bro.
Oh,
you're
bro.
A father, bro.
My
you're
oldest son was 36-hour labour, and he was born dead and had to resuscitate it twice. So I get it.
See, that's crazy, bro.
Mm.
It's insane.
It is, and it's not something that you...
Life,
you know,
bro. You can't take it for granted. That's what I realised the other day as well. I'm like, wow, man. Like, if you would have lost her and then my kids don't have a mother and shit, that would have been fucking... I wouldn't even know how to handle it. I'm thinking I wouldn't be able to handle this, bro. You can't go nowhere. You can't. You're not allowed to. You would have stayed.
I look forward, actually, because we're talking. I'm looking at you. I can see just this beautiful joy. You're legit glowing of life, brother.
Yeah, bro. Mother's,
what are you going to bring out next, then? What's going to come out in lyrics next? Because I tell you, it's going to be fucking banging.
Man, I've been writing. All right, so I've got an album that's going to drop in December.
Another one? So you're going for two this year?
I've got an LP almost ready, bro. I've got like four tracks to do on it, and that's it.
Oh, you'll have to send it to me and I'll have to approve it.
Oh, brother, I'm telling you, this one is the one, lad.
Let's go.
I've got some of the deepest shit on it, like Thoughts. I've got a Thoughts number two.
Yep.
I've got one called Harvey Dent, so it's saying that these cunts are two-faced in the scene, bro. I've got to tell you how it is.
I like that.
I've got to tell you how it is, bro. I don't give a fuck
I like
about
that.
I've got a lot of deep stuff on it, so I feel like I do the best when I tell real stories like that.
And this is just from what I've picked up in the short time, you know, of knowing you. And it seems to be you become very, very quick in delivering that album because you 100% know what you want. But it's always in a part of your life where there's been some sort of impacting moment. Exactly. And then you have this gap.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden you see Michos, he's there, he's still there, but then all of a sudden you pick up, fuck, something's going wrong. Something's happening in his life. Next minute, boom, there's an album coming out and it's a banger.
And it's all the times. And it's all the times in the life I was called.
Yeah, but it just seems every 6 or 12 months you've got one of those moments.
Yeah, bro. With this COVID shit, I had two songs ready and I couldn't clip them. The dudes who were going to clip my stuff just cancelled for 3 months. So there was 6 months of my life where I had everything ready last year, or it might have been at the start of this year. And 6 months I was quiet. I only just bring out something on May the 28th. It was Battles. And then I dropped this Demon. Like I had heaps of music ready, bro. I've had it ready for ages. Just the clips, I couldn't get them out. And I didn't want to, I've never really drop music without a clip.
No, you haven't.
Very never. Like I always felt visual was a fucking key, and me doing good clips these days like Thoughts and No Good For You with Vision Plug, one of my boys, Nikki, they have to be
quality.
Par with quality.
I don't think you've ever thrown out like a B grade sort of visual. I don't think there's ever been
coming in the scene first, but I've always tried to let's make it the best, let's do this, let's do that, you know. Imagine if I had 20, 30 grand budgets, bro. Fuck, I'd make movies, lad. I'd be starring in movies, guys.
But you would be, 100%. So when you sort of look at doing one of these visuals, I mean, give us an insight for those of us out there that wouldn't understand what sort of goes into that investment. And, you know, for you to deliver something like that, you know, you're not getting paid fucking millions of dollars every time it comes out. All right, you might get Do you get some sort of royalties off YouTube?
We do.
Something, but it's not fucking massive for your outlay, is it?
Let's
put it in perspective, because I think people think you're just killing
it. Some people that I know, they want to pay $250 for a clip, bro. I wouldn't even get out of bed for $250.
I can't even get a 30-second clip for that.
These clips that I'm going to be doing recently, they're on a range of like $6,000 to $10,000. So you can pay $10,000 for a clip. You'll make $10,000 back in a year, but that's a full year. So you pay something to get the money back in a full year like that. You know, I get about $1,000 a week through streams. So I get about 900, close to $1,000 a week with streams. YouTube every 3 months, or you get royalties off them. They'll go into your bank.
Okay, so there is residual income coming in off your hard work.
And if
you've got to build it, don't you?
Chill or not, he'll be getting mad streams because he gets a lot of views. So he'll be getting
chill,
good money.
Good old Chill.
He'll be getting decent money.
He obviously looks like he's killing it with his stacks upon stacks of racks of racks and tax.
Well, let me put a wig on Chill. You can give me 100 grand, I'll put a wig on, guys. Give me 100 grand. God love you.
Fucking oaf. Lock that shit down. I want to see that.
Nah, he'll sit calm, bro. Mad love. But bro, you're making money back off your clips, but it's a bit of a time thing. I'm not doing this to try to be a millionaire, bro. Bros, I wouldn't be doing roofing. I wouldn't be working in this, you know. I could make 5 grand a week off roofing, bro. So it's mad cash. Like,
that's a good earn. that's a real good earn,
bro. You know, it's a real good earn. Yeah, for me, having $0 in my bank, bro, in January, and then you build it up to like 50 or something, bro. It's good to be able to save. I never saved ever in life except for this year, a bit of last year, sorry.
I don't think that we were ever shown. Well, what was saving? You know, if you had it, you shared it with the boys and everybody.
Exactly.
If you're eating, I'm eating.
One.
You know what I mean?
I was the one too. Me and the boys, I'm like, bro, don't worry, I've got $20. Let's get 100%. If we got $30, we'll get 2 for $30, bro. Whatever 100%. It was, I was getting
that. That's it. It was always about us. It was never about
me. I was never that dude sitting at home by himself, slaying drugs. I'd rather do them with my mates. I'd rather have food with them. I'd rather do whatever with them, whatever the case be.
And I guess now you look at it and every cent that comes in through your hard work,
yeah,
you know, whether it be your own business or, you know, your passion, it's for your future of your boys, your boys.
Oh, hard. You know, yeah, your, hard. Exactly sons. What it is. You know, if I didn't have my boys, I probably would have fucked up and done a whole bunch of other shit. They definitely grounded me, bro.
Everything happens for a reason, brother, and that's the point that, you know.
You'll hear the next couple of songs that I got. I got a real deep one. The next one I'm going to do is called Run and Hide, bro. It's with a lovely lady from Melbourne. Her name's Sir Jude. She's like a young lady. I think she might be shown by Sony or something like that. But okay. Her voice is, fuck me dead, bro. It's like you would hear someone singing James Bond. Her voice, bro.
So in a deeper.
No, it's just her harmonies and all this shit, bro. Wow. It's insane. This song that I got, Run and Hide, is fucking mad, bro. It's one of my favorites. It's about the whole relationship thing. To go back to do with music and me rhyming in whatever's going on in that period of the year or whatever, and to talk about relationships with the baby mama and that, it's kind of entwined in one song. So it's about me. She should run and hide instead of being in this whole fucking life that I've placed her in.
Yeah,
and she's like playing that side thing, you know, like sometimes you're a rapper and then you're a dad in the mornings, bro.
Who are you?
During the day, who the fuck are you? You know, you're doing what you got to do. But yeah, man, this one's really deep and it's about that. I bring the whole baby mama into it. Like she should run and hide.
How does it go sometimes with the lyrics and your partner sort of paying attention? Obviously, there'd be some songs and other songs she'd be like, oh yeah, fucking bro. What the fuck?
Bro, I'll be, because I just put my big headphones on, I put the Dre Beats, whatever the fuck, the studio, whatever the fuck. I whack them on and I'm writing as I'm going along the house and I'm pacing up and down for an hour. I'm writing at night when I settle down and my little boys are in bed.
Yeah.
They go to bed like 8 o'clock. So I'm rhyming for like 2 hours at a night, whatever. And I notice that I'm getting through some lines. I look over and she's just got a smirk on her face or something. And then she knows that. But at the same time, these ones where I'm talking about maybe I should have tried more for my baby mum or whatever that bit was in thought, she'll look over and she'll go, oh, wow, I knew them words were so meaningful, but I couldn't picture what music it was to. Then she gets to hear the whole track. And she's like, that's cool.
Is there sometimes then too, you know, having a supportive partner that really takes an interest in your music where you just see, you know, that moment in her eyes when you know she's listening to something and her heart just melts and you just know that, you know, she's proud of you, she loves you, you know, like you're a real 100%.
Man. Yeah, man. I've been writing something recently. It's about my perspective of how I give everything for my fans. I'll give you my therapy, but it's stripping my fucking soul doing this rap life. Stripping time from my family. It's stripping my fucking person and persona sometimes. Yeah. So I'm doing a song, real talk, bro. I'm doing a song about that. But the way I've put it together, bro, it's just, I'm very, very impressed. Sometimes I get into this mode, bro. And the way I wrote this, the way I'm delivering is, I feel like it's, when I write like this, bro, no one can catch my deepness and realness on these tracks. No one. No one in Australia. I don't give a fuck who you are, bro. Husky can do it with realness to do with that whole fucked up life he's doing. Yeah. But when it comes to me being real and giving you how this shit is, bro, nah, there's a real that you can't catch me on, bro. With these ones that I got now talking about me and how it's stripping my time of my family and my babies and this and that. But I want to give myself to my fans. So it's like a fine line. I'm walking on a tightrope for these people. These, the lyrics are insane, bro. And, oh, bro, I can't wait to show you this one. I love
the way you back yourself because you're very critical. Obviously, you know, you're not going to put yourself out there to look like a goose. And hearing you speak in this way, it's just powerful. Just seeing you emotionally talk about that, then I love it, brother. And I think that's what makes you such a good role model, you know, in the community and on your platforms. You are somebody that people look up to. You are someone that is an influencer. Fuck, I hate that word, influencer. But you do, know what I mean? Yeah, you have a sway in society. You have a sway on young people's minds. You have a sway on old cunts' minds. I'm 45 and I still take in what you say, you know? So it's fucking powerful, brother. So what's coming out is going to be good because if you're willing to sit there and talk like that about what you believe, you know, and what
now that I'm mature and getting older in the game,
yeah, I'm becoming a veteran now, eh, old boy?
Bro, I'm getting there, bro.
And you actually are.
You do the more time goes on, bro, you don't hold back, bro. The realness comes out. It's real. I couldn't hold back if I wanted to. You know?
The reality bites. Hey, the OGs are starting to fucking realize they've got a couple up and comers.
I'm finally an OG, lad. Fucking
you are.
I'm finally an OG.
Not just one of the boys. You're an actual OG now.
Fucking oak, lad. But, bro, and as you go on more in time with this music, it has to get realer and realer, bro. I can't sugarcoat anything, or I can't water it down, you know? I have to be as real as I am. And that's what I've, my fans start to, they know that that's me now. Whatever I'm giving them, bro, is something that I'm 100% on.
And is that, if we were to bring this to a little bit of a closure, is that something that you would like to say in your life where you are today? Is that who you are? You know, you are the happy realist. You are the present dad.
Bro,
you are the artist that's delivering, you know, the best music that he can at the moment. Bro, tell us, what's going on for Mitchos now?
Bro, I'm at that point in my life. I love it, bro. I got my kids, and I'm writing the best music I ever have. So that's a win-win for me, bro. And when I think about the whole childhood and all this bad shit growing up and years from lounging and all this, I had to do that to come here, bro. I had to go through all that. I had to see that. I had to see my mom get burnt and fucking bashed, and as fucked as it is, you know, I had to see all that shit, bro, to make me to this person now. So then I can share it, bro. I can share it and build other people as well, you know.
Every guest that comes on the Clink, we always ask to leave a certain way, and that way is if you could give one powerful, inspiring verse, line, word, impacting moment to the people out there that listen to this. And you just talked about how hard it was for you, you know, and the realities and the realizations of what your mum went through, what you witnessed. And then how you've now become your own man and a leader and a father and a good partner. What information or, you know, inspiration can you give to those people listening today that were who you were?
Yeah, man, you can be what you want to be. Don't let nothing define you. No fucking part of history that you've grown up. Shit's in the past for a reason. Nothing defines you, your future. No matter what bad shit we've been through, you can always be good. You can be a good human. You don't need to be a filthy cunt. You don't need to be this. You gotta be a good human, man. You gotta give what you want, you know? You can't. I just feel like a lot of these people, they grew up and they got bad brothers, this, that. So now I'm looking at 13-year-olds running around with a fucking belly on. You're 13-year-old, you don't even know what a robbery is yet. You don't need to define yourself from everyone's past or what you think the future has to be like. You make your own, man. There's one part of advice. Do good. Chase something. Don't be scared of that 9-to-5. If you're looking after your mumsy that's sick, or you're looking after your missus or your newborn, you do that. You got to do that.
It's real man shit, isn't it? That's what it is. It's real man shit.
100%. Man, just love your fellow human and shit won't be as bad. I wish I learned that young, bro. And I wish the people I was around knew that as well.
You know what the thing is, though, we say that, but like you just said before, you wouldn't be the man you are today if you didn't.
Nah, exactly.
So you know what, brother? This is your journey.
That is, man. There's a lot like I left out of the stories, bro. I could have went into detail with the whole growing up shit, but you got the gist of it, bro, from what I got introduced to.
Brother, you can go as deep as you want. You know, I think
bro. We can do this another time, bro. We can do it. We'll link up and do like a proper little one, bro.
Yeah, I'm stoked, brother, that we've locked down. You know what I mean? It shows you, and it gives people enough insight to understand you and who you are and why. And you know, like the backflip of that is you could have been one of those statistics, but here you are, success. You know,
I didn't want to be that other number, man. I didn't want to be just a number. You know, I know we're all got our path to fucking go in life. Everyone's going to set out, but I wanted something more than what I was fucking shown. And I want to give something more than what I've been shown, you know. That's why I'll do anything for these kids, bro. I don't want them to see their mother run away and scared. And I wouldn't do that, bro. I can't put them through that. No chance in the world.
Mitch Austin Menace, it's been an absolute pleasure. I love you, bro.
You,
I love
brother.
Everything
I love
stand
you
stand for. And thank you very much for joining us on Season 6, The Clink, Stories of Redemption. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this one. Next week's will be another cracker. Talk to you soon.